Good evening, everybody. It's great to see everybody here, and it's a privilege again just to be able to preach here at Cafe Church. And I just want to welcome all our visitors, and I just want to say hello to all the usual people. Right, I'm just going to pray first. Thanks. Thank you, oh great and holy God, that you, Lord, are serious about us. Yes, Father, that you want to use us, and Lord, that we can be part of this great and wonderful thing called the church. And Lord, I want to pray, Lord, that you will use me tonight, God. And Lord, let me only speak the word that is of your heart. And Lord, if there's anything in my heart, God, that is not of you, God, let it lay at rest and just get out of my heart, God. And let me just speak the words that is upon your heart, Father. Holy Spirit, just lead us and guide us. And Father, I pray, God, that our ears will be open and our hearts will be open. Let our minds get out of the way. And let us hear from you tonight. In Jesus' wonderful name, amen. So tonight, we are going to have a look at doing life together, or life in home groups. And it is, just before the meeting started, they were chatting about church and different ways of doing church, and unto one main thing, and that's fellowship, having communion with one another and God, yeah? So what happened was in the book of Acts, where we see how the first church was born, we see Jesus, he tells his church, or he tells the disciples, they need to stay in Jerusalem and wait for his Holy Spirit to be poured out. In that moment, they start meeting in this upper room. The Holy Spirit comes upon them on Pentecost, and the people in the city is wondering what's going on. And Peter, filled by the Holy Spirit, remember Peter was the one who disowned Jesus three times, but Jesus came and he re-established Peter in his calling. So that same Peter came and he preached an amazing message to the people of Jerusalem. But the people in Jerusalem was people from all over that region. It wasn't just Jews. It was, if you want to class it, all Gentiles. And right there, 3,000 were added to their number. And the church was born. So it went from 120 people to 3,120. The church that Jesus himself established. So let's read in Acts 2, verse 41 to 47. And let's just see about this thing of a vital growth for any church, yeah? So I'm going to read from verse 40. It says, "And with many other words he testified and exhorted them, saying, be saved from this perverse generation. Then those who gladly received his word were baptized, and that day about 3,000 souls were added to them. And they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine, in the fellowship, in the breaking of bread, and in prayers. Then the fear came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were done through the apostles. Now all who believed were together, and had all things in common, and sold their possessions and goods, and divided them among all, as anyone had need. So continually daily, with one accord in the temple, and breaking bread from house to house, they ate their food with gladness and simplicity of heart, praising God and having favor with all the people, and the Lord added to the church daily those who were being saved." So this passage is a key passage for us as believers of Jesus Christ. It shows us exactly how this church should function of Jesus Christ. Remember, Jesus told his disciples in Matthew 28 verse 18, Luke 24 verse 46, and then in Mark 16, 15, which I'm going to read to you, the commission that his disciples had to go and do, and to go and teach his people, believers, the commandments and the teachings of his way. And in Mark 16, 15 says, "Then he said to them, thus it is written, and thus it was necessary for Christ to suffer and to rise from the dead the third day, and that repentance and remission of sins should be preached in his name to all nations, beginning at Jerusalem, and you are witnesses of these things. Behold, I send the promise of my Father upon you, but tarry in the city of Jerusalem. At tarry is like a wait, but it's like a wait, it's like you're gonna go into a war type wait. There's a certain thing waiting upon you, and you can't wait till you get this call, and then you need to go. That type of tarry. Then it says, in the city of Jerusalem, until you are endued with power from on high. And in Acts 1 verse 8, just before Jesus went up to heaven, he says to them, but you shall receive power from the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be a witness to me in Jerusalem and Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. So Jesus gave a commandment that believers should be witnesses and make disciples, first in Jerusalem, then in Judea, then in Samaria, and then the ends of the earth. Right here, where we are today, our Edinburgh is our Jerusalem. The Midlothians, that is our Judea. And Scotland is our Samaria. And the outer ends of the world. Before we can succeed in the outer end of the world, we need to succeed in Jerusalem. And that's why Jesus told them to wait in Jerusalem and to start in Jerusalem. So how do we do this? This church, this life together as believers. We're going to look at that. In verse 42, we can see it says, and they continued steadfastly in apostles' teaching and fellowship and the breaking of bread and prayer. That word doctrine, it's a key for every single believer in Christ. It was the main thing that they build their faith upon. It's the main thing that established who God was and who Jesus was. And that thing of doctrine, when you go and look at the Greek word, it's didike. My pronunciation is maybe not right, but I can spell it to you. Which means teaching the way. That was the teaching of Jesus and His way. And Jesus said it Himself, that we need to be witnesses of these things. Witness of the teachings that He did and the way He lived. And that was the exact teaching that the apostles had to go and teach the early church. In 2 Timothy 3:16 to 17 it says, all scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine. A doctrine is again teaching the way, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good things. I love that thing saying thoroughly furnished. Jesus didn't just tell us, listen, I'm going to heaven, just get on with it. No, He gave us these teachings. He gave us the apostles. The book of Luke and Mark was used for the early church as a type of induction to the church. That was a real important book in the times of the church when the church was still young. I want to just emphasize this thing that we need to believe that God's word is real. We need to believe that Jesus was real and that His ways are true. The next point, point number two, is through fellowship, koinonia. This church has no excuse if they don't know what koinonia is. Of the two messages of koinonia, I would think they would know. If you don't know that, please go listen to the teachings. Koinonia, I'm just going to give a little summary. Koinonia is a Greek word which means fellowship. But it's a lot more than fellowship. It is friendship. But it's a lot more than friendship. It is an intimate relationship that every believer have with one another because of Jesus Christ. To give a good definition, it's to say that it is us being committed to one another as Christ is to His church. Koinonia is a real part of our life. It's a part of our fellowship. It is the essence of what God is. It's community. Point number three. Through breaking of bread. Breaking of bread was really important for the early church. And it should be for us. It was something they did every day, from day to day and from house to house. from verse 42 to verse 47, we can see it mentioned three times in the scripture. I believe that Jesus himself gave this breaking of bread for us so that we can remember what he has done on the cross. And in 1 Corinthians 11, 24 to 26, in the NIV, it says the following. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, "This is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me." In the same way, after supper, he took the cup, saying, "This cup is a new covenant in my blood. Do this whenever you drink it in remembrance of me. For whenever you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes." I believe the reason why Luke, that wrote Acts, emphasized this thing of communion, of breaking bread together so often, is for the church of today to realize how important it is out of remembrance to Jesus Christ. That every single thing that we enjoy as the church is because of what Jesus has done on that cross. Whether it is in each other's houses or whether it is corporately in a church, it's because of Jesus Christ. Whether it is through praying or whether it's through eating a meal, it's because of Jesus Christ. And that was a key thing for that church. That was something they gave God the glory for the whole time. Every single thing that happened was through breaking of bread. And it was to say that, "Yes, Lord, we remember what you've done on that cross. And we praise your mighty name for that." And I believe that's something that the church today should reestablish in our lives. I remember when I was just saved, I was invited to all these random people into their houses, which was very strange for me because I was a guy that used to go to barbecues next to rivers. And I used to sit around this table, and before the meal or after the meal, they always bring one glass with grape juice in it and a piece of toast or a rye vita or something to eat. And they always say, "Father, we do this in remembrance of your mighty name. Thank you for our salvation. And thank you for paying that price for our sins." And it used to grab me. I used to go home and tell Mary Lee, "This is weird." And then one day I saw in the Bible for myself, it is biblical. It's not just a religious act. Why? Because they were giving glory to God our Father. And point number four, through praying together. Well, before this church grew to 3,120, they were only 120. Basically, Jesus established his church on a prayer meeting. So that church was basically born out of a prayer meeting. And I believe every single church should be born out of a prayer meeting. Because that is biblical. And that's what God has showed us in the book of Acts. Here's a very interesting fact. If you go look at the disciples, they always walk with Jesus. They used to ask him why he did certain things. But there's only one place in the Bible where they asked him how to do something. And that was the Lord's Prayer. Why? Because they saw power. They saw that praying to God was the key to success. Jesus himself said, "For I do only what my Father has told me to do." And if we do it corporately, like the 120, or we do it privately with our friends around a table or in a dining area, we are doing it for the glory of God. Peter and John were on their way to a prayer meeting. They see a guy that's crippled. He asks for something. They say, "Silver and gold we do not have." And he gets healed. What is our expectation before we come to a corporate prayer meeting? Number five, through signs and wonders. Mark 16, 15 to 18 says, "And he said to them, 'Go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He who believes and is baptized will be saved, but he who does not believe will be condemned. And these signs will follow those who believe. In my name they will cast out demons, they will speak with new tongues, they will take up serpents, and they will drink anything deadly. It will by no means hurt them. They will lay hands on the sick and they will recover,'" like what happened to me this morning. So friends, where the gospel goes forth, signs and wonders follow. We need to grab this thing. We need to understand this thing. But we also need to be open for God to use us, like He did with Peter, where Peter was called to go in Acts 9. I want us to read there if it's possible for you. Acts 9, verse 36. At Joppa, there was a certain disciple named Tabitha, which is translated Dorcas. The woman was full of good works and charitable deeds, which she did. But it happened in those days that she became sick and died. When they had washed her, they laid her in an upper room. And since Lydda was near Joppa, and the disciples had heard that Peter was there, they sent two men to him, imploring him not to delay in coming to them. Then Peter arose and went with them. When he had come, they brought him to the upper room, and all the widows stood by him weeping, showing the tunics and garments which Dorcas had made while she was with them. But Peter put them all out, and knelt down and prayed, and turning to the body and said, Tabitha, rise. And she opened her eyes, and when she saw Peter, she sat up. Then he gave her his hand and lifted her up, and when he had called the saints and widows, he presented her alive, and it came known throughout all Joppa, and many believed unto the Lord. So it was that he stayed many days in Joppa with Simon the tanner. When the gospel goes forth, they heard of Peter being there, they summoned him, they call him. He says, don't delay, please come. He goes there, he raises her from the dead, and believers get added. The Bible tells us daily believers were added. Daily believers were added. Friends, the Church of Jesus Christ is an amazing place. It's an amazing place. We should enjoy it while we're here. Number 6, they were one in mind. Verse 44 to verse 47. They did life together in need and in compassion. And let's read verse 44. Now, and had all things in common, and sold their possessions and goods, and divided them among all, as anyone had need. This is a principle that the disciples picked up from Jesus. Jesus himself was a man that used, and he gave what he had. Remember, with feeding the 5,000, or the 4,000, we only had 7 loaves. And he said, what do we have? And the disciples said, Lord, let us send them away. We don't have this. He says, you can't send them away. They're going to faint on their way home. We need to feed them. Jesus feeds 4,000 of them. That is a principle that the disciples caught. And that was something, because it was his ways and his teachings, that they taught to the people of the early church. To use what they have. Some people sold their possessions just to give to those who were needy. We need to be a people of compassion, but we also need to see the need in other people's lives in the church. I remember I was showed this thing that it's biblical to go to the nations. When I got saved, it didn't take long. 2 months later, they said, do you have a passport? I said, no. I said, you better get one. And I remember just when I got my passport, I wanted to go to the nation. So the eldership came to me and said, listen, there's guys going to Malawi. Are you interested in that? I said, yes, for sure. He said, yeah, but there's a cost involved. I said, no, I don't have money. He said, no, trust God, He will provide. And I went one day and I sat at the home group and I said to the guys, yeah, they want me to go on this trip, but I don't have the money. And I would love to go. Can we pray for that? But what happened there was, a brother came to me afterwards and he said to me, Sean, I would love to pay for you to go. Here's the thing. Yeah, God may be ministered in his heart, but I believe God put a principle in his heart. To see where somebody lacked, he came and he provided for me. And sometimes we don't need to wait for God to tell us to provide for somebody in our body that's lacking. We should just step out and provide for them. We should fill that need in their life. We should have compassion for one another. Also number 6. The temple and homes, verses 46. So continually daily with one accord in the temple and breaking bread from house to house, they ate their food with gladness and simplicity of heart. Even the picture of the temple on that time, it's like a corporate meeting. It's like corporately they met together. But also from house to house. Luke is telling us that this thing wasn't just inclusive for the church on a Sunday or on a Saturday in their case. No, it was an everyday type thing. And it was even in their own houses. Having a prayer meeting in your house, maybe for somebody that you know struggling, or for your neighbor, with somebody that's with you in the church, or maybe just having a meal with somebody. Friends, we don't need to wait till on a Sunday to share life with one another. We can do it every single day in our own houses with one another. I love this fact when I go for a meal and people in the church invite you to go for a meal. First thing they do is they do the stretching out of the hand and they start praying to God. And I remember I went to my first meal that I was invited for in a church. And I was basically, the plate was sitting in front of me. And the way I know things is just to start eating. And I would start eating and all of a sudden these people just started randomly praying. And everybody was holding hands and I was like the missing link. But I realized there that community was very important. And to not just to eat together, but to do life together. Because that's what Jesus Christ's church is like. To do every day together, yeah? And then point number 7, my last point. And the Lord added to their number. It says here, when we follow this pattern, we will see people added to the church. Verse 47 says, and the Lord added to the church daily. It doesn't say the church added to the church daily. It says the Lord added to the church daily. If we follow this biblical pattern which God has established in His Word by His teachings through Jesus Christ, He will add people to His church. Come along with me on this journey, friends, and let's enjoy life in this church. Because Jesus is on the throne, He's defeated the enemy, and it's a privilege to be part of His church. Thank you.